Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots to talk about on today's program, so you can start dialing 888-302-3684. That's our number. And we'll be taking your phone calls during this hour, and perhaps you may be fortunate enough to hear us for 2 full hours. The situation varies across the country depending on where you're listening from. But no matter where you're listening from, you can go to drhoffman.com and you can get the program in its entirety. You can listen live. Just click on the listen link and you'll find a link so that you can listen live to both hours of Intelligent Medicine. Or perhaps you're busy, you're doing something, maybe you're in your car and you're going to stop and do a little shopping and you feel you missed an important segment of Intelligent Medicine. You can go to our website on Monday morning where we post the program in its entirety and we post helpful links to the articles that we talk about. So we want to make the Intelligent Medicine experience a very, very enlightening experience for you, not just some casual listening for a couple hours on a weekend. We've also got podcasts. Those are available via drhoffman.com. Please, please take advantage of them. And one of the big stories this week, actually it's a story that's been kind of brewing for a while. It's about mammograms. And, you know, one of the hallmarks of the new social contract is our right, especially women's rights, to obtain health care that is preventive, health care that helps women escape the ravages of female diseases. And the poster girl for a female disease is breast cancer, a terrible scourge that affects a relatively high percentage of women and is something women actually fear more than heart disease. This month is Heart Month, and it's Think Red for Heart Month, and the emphasis is on women's heart disease. Actually, heart disease kills far more women than breast cancer, but something more terrifying about breast cancer, it's mutilating. It attacks your very body image as a woman, that your breasts may turn against you and become your enemies and ultimately could be your undoing. So one of the hallmarks of our preventive health services for women is get your annual mammogram. And there's a lot of political talk about how women who are not insured, and these are poor women or minority women or women who fall between the cracks because they don't have a job or the right job or whatever, that they're not getting their annual mammogram. And isn't this terrible? And as a result, women are dying. Women are literally dying because they're being denied preventive health services. All right, that's on the political side. But to add to the confusion, this headline from Reuters this week: new study adds to evidence that mammograms, get ready for this, mammograms do not save lives. And you know, it seems to me that a certain radio journalist has been talking about this for the last couple of decades. That is yours truly. I've been following stories that cast doubt on whether mammograms really ultimately make a difference in terms of whether you're going to live or die. Now, we've got mammograms. They spot cancer. We treat the cancer. Then we put pink ribbons on women, and they're, quote, cancer survivors. And that's all to the good. But are we actually preventing death, or are we creating the illusion that we're preventing death? Well, this study, big study, in the British Medical Journal, they say it's the latest salvo in a decades-long debate over the benefit of mammograms. Quote, a new study has added to growing evidence that yearly mammogram screenings do not, I repeat, do not reduce the chance that a woman will die of breast cancer. And it confirms earlier findings that many abnormalities detected by these X-rays would never have proven fatal. even if untreated. Perish the thought. You find a breast cancer and you don't treat it. That's unthinkable in this modern day and age. It's a cause for major malpractice suits. But yet, the study, quote, found no reduction in breast cancer death from mammography screening. And in particular, they focused on women in the critical age groups 40 to 49 and 50 to 59. Those are prime ages for mammography screening. Now, you may say, well, this is crazy because all the other studies show it's helpful. No, they don't. These findings echo research such as that found in a 2012 study in the New England Journal of Medicine that created a big stir. It found that screening mammography is, quote, having at best only a small effect on the rate of death from breast cancer. And why is that? Well, what they're saying is two problems. One is that sometimes you find a cancer and it's of absolutely no consequence. It's the cancer that might kill you if you live to be 135. It is so slow growing, so tiny, so non-aggressive that it doesn't make a difference. Yet we make a big deal. We do surgery. We do radiation, sometimes chemotherapy, on cancers that are ultimately inconsequential in terms of whether women are going to live or die. And the other problem is the converse, which is the cancer is so aggressive that even if you find it, you can treat it, and it gives you the illusion that you're not just standing there doing nothing, you're doing something. But regardless of treatment, it will likely prove fatal in the end, no matter when it is detected. So in the middle are perhaps 20% of cancers, we don't know how many, where it does make a big difference, where catching it early, taking it out, treating it in some way, treating it aggressively with chemotherapy perhaps, and or radiation, that can make a difference in a woman's ultimate fate. So here's a problem too. 22% of the cancers detected by mammograms were harmless. They wouldn't cause symptoms or death during a woman's lifetime. And that means that for every 424 women who receive mammograms, there's one overdiagnosed breast cancer, and that's a problem because that's a higher likelihood that you'll have the downside, which is aggressive treatment unnecessarily, than you're going to have a benefit. So here's some statistics. This comes from a 2006 study. For every 2,000 women invited for screening throughout 10 years, one will have her life prolonged. Well, wait a minute. Let's remember that other statistic. For every 424 women who receive mammography, one will get over-aggressive unnecessary treatment. So one in 424, over-aggressive unnecessary treatment. One in 2,000 might have her life prolonged. So that ain't good. And so yeah, what I'm saying here is I'm not saying don't get your mammograms. I just told a woman the other day that she should get a mammogram, at least one, just to find out where she's at. But the argument could be made that mammograms, by and large, don't make a big difference in the outcome. So what can we do? Well, efforts should be placed on prevention, looking at the effects of diet, looking at the effects of certain types of nutritional support, things like vitamin D clearly has a benefit, EGCG from drinking green tea or taking EGCG tablets may have a preventive effect. Studies show that fish oil may have a preventive effect against breast cancer. And a large number of anti-inflammatory nutrients may make a difference in terms of breast cancer risk. Flaxseed extract, the flax lignans, provide protection against breast cancer. And on it goes, our efforts should be directed towards better ways of preventing breast cancer rather than an emphasis on detection, which admittedly is profitable. Equipment makers, GE and Siemens make mammography machines. Doctors benefit from screening. Ultimately, there's a huge breast cancer industry and a breast cancer philanthropy industry as well. But think pink, get your mammogram, is a facile way of attacking this problem. We need better ways of detecting breast cancer. Ultimately, we may have blood tests, better types of scans. But let's be realistic. Let's hold our current practices under scrutiny, expose them to the light of day, because sunlight is the best disinfectant when it comes to discovering what's best for us in terms of medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll take your phone calls 1-888-302-3684. I know the calls may be a little sparse during our first hour before our bulk of our audience joins us in New York City on the new 710 WOR, but please call. We'd love to hear from you on Intelligent Medicine.
At Nordic Naturals, we believe that omega oils are essential to an extraordinary life. By correcting the global omega-3 deficiency, each generation can have the opportunity to grow healthy and strong, so you can do more of what you love with those you love. What's essential to us is proven purity and leading freshness. All of our oils surpass strict international standards for purity and freshness. Our oxygen-free processing combined with natural flavoring ensures no fishy smell, taste, or aftertaste. 100% of our fish is wild-caught, sourced in line with the Norwegian Fisheries Management System, and processed with minimal environmental impact. At Nordic Naturals, what's essential to us is simple. It's what's essential to you. Like us on Facebook and share your What's Essential story, or simply visit NordicNaturals.com for free samples. Nordic Naturals is available at finer health food stores nationwide. Nordic Naturals, committed to delivering the world's safest, most effective omega oils.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our number, 888-302-3684. You know, I want you to write that number down, because that is a number that you can call from noon to 2 p.m. on Saturdays, any weekend of the year. And we will take your phone calls and we'll put them on the air and answer your questions. Now, it's a perplexity to some people who listen to this program, because it's on at various times all across the country. It is recorded live, and it's rebroadcast live to some precincts of America. But in other places, it's on tape. So you may say, well, that's crazy. You know, I hear the program from 5 to 6 p.m. where I am, so that's nuts. I'm not even going to bother to call. But no, call, because I will answer your question from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on Saturdays. And that's a way to get your stuff handled medically. All right, the polar vortex. All right, we're no longer calling it the polar vortex. It's a succession of storms has hit the majority of the lower 49 states, making it seem like Alaska in the east, in the Midwest, even in the south. And it's really unprecedented, because, you know, we've been having warmer winters lately, and it's been giving fuel to the global warming enthusiasts. But I assure you that here in the east, I live in New York City, I just ain't seen nothing like it in terms of the succession of snowstorms. And as I look out the window, actually it's dissipating now, but a couple of minutes ago, the snow was literally going upward. You know, it's like snow's not coming down. It's coming up. It's a little snow flurry is going to dump about 1 to 3 inches on Manhattan. Yet again, adding insult to injury, we had a major snowstorm on Thursday, just shut everything down. And rarely do I close the office, but gradually the patients started flaking out. And we just said, look, it's not worth it. You know, let's just send somebody in to answer phones and we'll just call it a day. But it turns out that all this cold weather may be beneficial for you. So you should embrace the cold. We talked about this. It's the shiver factor. Shivering could actually be doing your body a favor. When a person shivers, this is from a new study in the journal Cell Metabolism, it shows that when a person shivers, you release something called irisin, And apparently there's a place where that happens. It's your brown fat. Your brown fat is the source of this helpful hormone. And it's fat burning. It helps to convert white fat to brown fat, which is a fat that actually helps you lose and maintain weight. The other wrinkle to this is that exercise also enhances the production of irisin. So a double whammy is you get out there and it's freezing and you're shoveling snow or you're intrepidly cross-country skiing or you're jogging on one of the few the paved surfaces that's left after the entire terrain is blanketed in snow. You're going to get a dual benefit because you're going to shiver and you're going to get exercise benefits in terms of burning your fat. So I just want to add that let's say you're not intrepid and you don't want to go outside. There is a natural way to enhance the metabolism of brown fat. And it's actually a product that I've investigated. You know, all these products are coming down the pike that purport to enhance weight loss. And I think a lot of them are bogus, quite out and out bogus, or potentially harmful. Things that are stimulants, things that are that sort of soak up water in your intestine and bloat you and build up like a balloon in your intestine so you feel nauseous all the time. Or things that interfere with digestion, giving you diarrhea when you consume carbohydrates, the carb blockers, or giving you diarrhea when you consume fats. Those aren't great because you're blocking the absorption of fat-soluble nutrients, D, E, K, and the omega-3 fatty acids that are beneficial. So those things I really don't believe much in. But I do believe in a pepper compound. It's called Capsiate Natura. And you can't get this in health food stores. It's something that's just dispensed by doctors. So we have it on our website. It's at drhoffman.com. Click on the store. Headline, pepper compound could help hearts. Capsaicin and substances termed capsaicinoids. The difference between a capsaicin is that it's fiery hot and hard to tolerate. But a capsaicinoid, like the product that we sell at drhoffman.com, which is Capsiate, is a capsaicin-like compound that doesn't have the fiery aspects to it. It won't make your hair stand on end and break out in a sweat or your face will turn red. These are found in cayennes and jalapenos and habaneros, but there are ways to chemically modify them into capsaicinoids, which have the benefit of revving the metabolism, encouraging the metabolism of brown fat, and they thereby increase your body temperature. They literally are fat burning, and they increase your oxygen consumption, or what is called fat oxidation. Fat oxidation is the key to burning down your fat stores. And I'm really quite impressed with the research that these folks at Ajinomoto have done on Capsiate Natura. So, get out there, whenever I can. I get out there and I, walk in the snow or I run outside. Outdoor activities in the winter are great for fat burning and helping you keep your weight down. But in lieu of that, or in addition, as a compliment, consider Capsiate Natura. Go to drhoffman.com, click on the store. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
If you're like me, you don't have time to be sick, yet our busy lifestyles can leave us vulnerable. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Do you know that in Japanese, kayo means strength? This winter, find your immune strength with four key natural immune-boosting supplements from our friends at Kyolic. It's what I call the Kyolic Advantage, and what I use myself. Try Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract 103 for natural immune wellness and cardiovascular health. Since 70% of your immune system is in the digestive tract, Kyodophilus bolsters immunity and gut health with shelf-stable beneficial bacteria. On the go, try Kyo Green, a convenient powdered greens drink mix that offers a natural source of key vitamins and minerals. And don't forget ModuCare, a unique combination of plant sterols proven effective at balancing and strengthening immunity. So eat right, exercise, and get the Kyolic Advantage to optimize your immune health today. Available at fine health food stores everywhere.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Back to Intelligent Medicine, our number 888-302-3684, and at least Buck from Gold Beach, Oregon, is taking advantage of it. Hi, Buck. How are you?
Good morning, doctor. I'm fine. Thank you.
Hi. How are you doing? However, it is where I'm, where I am, it is afternoon formally, but you know, where you are, it's like, it's 9:30 in the morning. So, okay.
It is.
Hey, were you up this morning to watch the hockey game, the U.S.-Russia mm-hmm. hockey game? You must have had to get up at 4 a.m. on the West Coast. I wonder what people did.
No, I wait and catch those at night.
Oh, okay. Spoiler alert. Right.
Yep.
I'm not going to give you the outcome, but it was an amazing game. Amazing. It's well worth watching.
I'll be watching it tonight.
Okay. So what's your question?
My wife, about 2 months ago, suddenly she started having diarrhea. Temperature went to 104. We got her to the hospital. Long and short of it, she was diagnosed with C. diff, which is short for words that I can't pronounce.
I'll help you there. It's Clostridium difficile. But, difficile in French and Spanish means difficult. And this is a difficult form of diarrhea to treat. Very, very tenacious.
They said that it was life-threatening. They put her on Flagyl, the antibiotics Flagyl and vancomycin.
Yep.
For a long period of time. She spent 12 days in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And now that she's out, of course, her strength is slowly rebuilding. Mm-hmm. They've done several colonoscopies. She's still having abdominal pain, which they are going, in about a week or two, going to do another colonoscopy and I guess take some tissue samples to see if there's any allergies that could be causing this.
Yeah.
But I guess my main question is, and this can reoccur, as I understand,
absolutely.
And it's becoming
mm-hmm.
becoming more prevalent in the United States. What is the continued abdominal pain? Is that a normal
okay,
reaction?
Let's discuss this. Okay, so C. difficile is a very tenacious bacteria that is actually communicable, but it seems to affect some people and not others, and maybe people who have a suppressed immunity are more prone to it. People who take ulcer medications are more prone to getting it. Was your wife taking an ulcer medication like Nexium or Prevacid or something like that? Okay.
No.
But, you know, older individuals, immune-suppressed individuals, they tend to get it. But it's also communicable, so you have to be a little careful that the spores are very, very hard to kill. They're actually spores, and they can live outside the body for long periods of time on surfaces. This is a big problem in hospitals. People go in for a simple procedure, and they come down with this. And it's a huge problem because it's hard to treat, and it's becoming resistant to many of our known antibiotics. And the problem is that, as you say, it sometimes will be suppressed by the antibiotics, but a few of the bacteria linger, and it persists kind of in a smoldering way, low grade, and then may reoccur. Now, alternatively, the pain that she may experience is the pain that's due to the aftermath of the infection. The infection is gone, hopefully, but she may have inflamed intestines because this is a form of colitis. It's like an infectious form of colitis, sometimes referred to as pseudomembranous colitis. And so the treatment for it, I do see a lot of people with this, is to put them on something called the specific carbohydrate diet. You can get the book. The book is by Elaine Gottschall, Gottschall, Breaking the Vicious Cycle. I actually wrote the introduction to that book. It's a book for patients who suffer from colitis, so ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, so not so much associated with C. difficile, maybe the wrong bacteria, but not C. difficile specifically. But C. difficile diarrhea does respond to the specific carbohydrate diet to some extent. You really have to, you can't just bomb people with antibiotics. You have to treat them holistically with the right kind of diet.
Right.
So So that's number one. Number two, the right kind of probiotics. You need to put good stuff back in. And the probiotic par excellence that helps this is something called Saccharomyces boulardii. And actually, doctors and hospitals are now becoming aware of this, and they're giving patients this specific probiotic to compete with the C. difficile and suppress it. So make sure you get her Saccharomyces boulardii. It's, you know, some check our website because it's available there, but, you know, there are many sources of it, but you need to take that if you're suffering from C. difficile. Now, I will point out that you have a very nice resource for you out there in Oregon. There's a center in Portland at the National School of Naturopathic Medicine for treatment of gastrointestinal disorders. They're really doing some fantastic work there. And these are NDs, naturopathic doctors. And actually, I'm planning to interview a couple of them on future episodes of the Intelligent Medicine podcast, which are not broadcast live on weekends, but they can be heard if you go to drhoffman.com. We'll be talking to them in the next couple of weeks or in the month of March, which is coming up soon. And we're going to talk more about dealing with challenging digestive disorders, including C. difficile. Now, one of the treatments, they're ready for this, is something called FT, which is fecal transplant, or which is sounds like the craziest thing in the world. You actually take the bacteria from the stool of a donor and you insert it into a patient who is sick. Now, this sounds like the craziest thing in the world, and please do not even think of attempting this in your garage, you know, on your own. But under medical supervision, they are now authorizing this treatment for patients, especially with C. difficile that is not responding to antibiotics. It's one of the few instances where they're authorizing this. This is under the auspices of the FDA. It's very carefully controlled in clinical trials, but it is the way to go for patients who have, excuse the pun, it's the way to go for patients who have just life-threatening diarrhea. They're wasting away. They're dropping down to, you know, 85 pounds. And a couple of doses of healthy flora from a donor can restore them to normalcy. It's amazing. But, you know, unfortunately, we haven't reached the stage in our probiotic science where we can take specific bacteria and say these are the ones that we really want to put back into patients who have chronic diarrhea. It actually requires a mix or an amalgam of the healthy flora from a healthy donor to restore balance to a patient who's sick with this condition. So that's, you know, put it in the back of your mind. Check out the people at the National School in Portland, because you're out there on the West Coast in Oregon.
Right, I will do that.
Yeah, all right. So please give us some feedback, because if I want to hear what's working, what's not working. Because this is of interest that, for me, one of my subspecialties is gastro problems in patients, and this is a particular interest. Thanks very much for calling us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Are you worried about your kids and family having too much sugar in their diets? Then switch to great-tasting spry xylitol gums and mints from Clear, the world's leading xylitol experts. Xylitol is a natural sweetener that has nearly identical taste to table sugar. It tastes great. Clinical trials have shown the dental benefits of using gum and mints made with xylitol after meals and snacks. Bacteria cannot break down xylitol, and this leads to less plaque and less acid to cause cavities. And spry xylitol gum and mints are perfect for anyone on a sugar-restricted diet, as xylitol has a low glycemic index of 7 compared to sugar's level of 83. Spry xylitol gum and mints are recommended by dentists, medical doctors, periodontists, pediatricians, and many health organizations worldwide. Spry costs the same as regular gum and mints, and you get the added health benefits. Look for Spry gum and mints at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other natural products retailers everywhere.
Did you know that 2 of the top 5 most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort. comfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. All right, attention deficit disorder doesn't just affect kids. It is estimated that 1 in 20 adults has ADHD, which is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And the hallmarks, it's kind of vague because there are actually websites that try to enlist you as a patient. Could you have ADD? And then do you skip from one project to another? Are you impulsive? Do you forget what you're doing and go on to another task before completing the it's pretty vague, right? But there's some people who are really hampered by debilitating ADHD. And they're often given medications. Well, here's a study. Amid many studies that say that vitamins are completely unnecessary, you don't need them, and in fact, they're downright harmful. You've heard about these studies previously. Well, this study suggests that giving adults vitamins and minerals could be useful for treating their ADHD. The study comes to us from the University of Canterbury in Christchurch, New Zealand. A wide range of nutrients, including vitamin D, iron, and calcium, may improve brain functioning. This according to researchers in New Zealand. In the study, 80 adults with ADHD were given either supplements containing vitamin D, B12, folic acid, magnesium, ferritin, iron, calcium, zinc, and copper, or a dummy placebo pill. After 8 weeks of treatment, those on supplements reported greater improvements in both their inattention and their hyperactivity impulsivity compared with those taking the placebo. Now, I don't have a study in front of me, but I wonder if they got omega-3 fatty acids. That would be crucial. These are just vitamins and minerals, but imagine if they'd gotten what I think is really the hallmark of correct treatment for adult ADHD, which is a good omega-3 supplement. Like the Orthomega that we have on our website at drhoffman.com. That's an industrial strength fish oil. Not all fish oils are alike. And we'll talk a little bit about fish oils in our second hour. But now these folks just got a multivitamin, multimineral, it sounded like. And the lead researcher in the study, Professor Julia Ruckledge, said, quote, "Our study provides preliminary evidence for the effectiveness of micronutrients, a.k.a. vitamins and minerals, in the treatment of ADHD symptoms in adults. And this could open up treatment options for people with ADHD who may not tolerate medications or do not respond to these commonly used drugs for ADHD. Look, I mean, there's no question that if you take speed, which basically these drugs are, you're going to focus and concentrate better. But will you like the side effects or consequences? Some people do fine, and they're happy to take these medications. It's unclear what that's going to do to them long term, what that might have a negative effect on their brains or their hearts, metabolism. It's hard to imagine taking an ADHD medication at the age of 65, 70, or 80. That might be too much for your heart and circulatory system, raising blood pressure and causing the heart to race. But vitamins, supplements, nutrients, minimal side effects, according to the study, improve brain functioning. And we see this time and time again. And this is amidst the outcry against vitamins and supplements, saying that they are worthless or even worse, harmful. Clearly, there's a war on vitamins and supplements in this country. All right, we'll take some more of your phone calls in just a moment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Oh, happy Valentine's Day, folks. Forgot to mention. And this is Intelligent Medicine.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. We got a caller. She's Karen. She is near Ithaca, New York, and she is digging out from the snow. Are you snowbound? Is that why you're calling me?
Yeah, but actually, I don't mind it.
Oh, good. Okay.
And it's one of the we've had a really bad problem with ticks over the last couple of years, and we've had such a prolonged period of cold and below zero often that
it'll kill the ticks.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, it requires, because I was excited the first time we had a freeze for a couple of days, and they said, no, it's got to be like 2 weeks. So we've surely gotten that. And
That could be great.
Yeah, so I'm really excited. I've had the bullseye twice, and it's so I love nature, but and I would prefer not to have to worry about the ticks as much.
So what's your question, quick, so that I have some time
sure,
to answer?
Sure, yeah. I'm calling regarding my mother. She has, she's now in an assisted living facility. She'll be 85 in March. People are always shocked. I mean, she's very spry, but she was having some memory issues.
Right.
And beginning to, seem like dementia.
So what's the question?
So the question is homocysteine. I am having a hard time finding doctors that believe that impacts the brain.
Yeah. Let me speak to it, okay? Because I want to cut you up, but I want to answer. The problem with homocysteine is that they actually did a study on homocysteine. The theory is that high homocysteine is something which affects the circulatory system, and this is for sure. We see that people have very high homocysteine. They have premature heart attacks. They have premature strokes, and they have a tendency towards dementia. That's been demonstrated. So they did a study, and it was a bad study, where they gave people B vitamins to lower their homocysteine, and it didn't help their hearts. So they immediately, on the basis of that, they pounced on the homocysteine hypothesis, and they said, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. Don't even test for it. We'll save money and forget those B vitamins. Well, that's a mistake, because what they did is they looked at patients who were pretty sick with advanced heart disease and know they couldn't reverse it with some, a few low-dose B vitamins. But it is very important for the brain, and high levels of homocysteine predict dementia, and taking B vitamins protect the brain from stroke and dementia big time. And so much so that there is even a prescription medication. It's expensive. It's often not covered by insurance, but it's available by prescription, which is a high-dose B vitamin combination. I use it in some patients. It's called Cerefolin, C-E-R-E-F-O-L-I-N. And sometimes it's combined with N-acetylcysteine, which is a potent antioxidant that protects the brain. It's actually been demonstrated in studies to slow cognitive decline. It's one of the best things out there, in addition to fish oil and other things. So you can also take a combo of B vitamins, B6, B12, and folic acid. Some patients do better with B12 injections. The type of folic acid matters, and these days I'm using methylfolate. So look for a supplement that contains methylfolate. The object is to get your homocysteine down to under 10, even preferably 6 or 7, because that will actually slow cognitive decline. And other things that help, something called trimethylglycine or betaine is also helpful. But you need to take gram doses, 2-3 grams of that, to lower your homocysteine effectively. So, all right. So those of you who are with us for a couple hours, stay with us, because lots more in our next hour. We're going to tackle intravenous vitamin C, something thought to be a pretty weird treatment, but new evidence shows that it is effective against cancer. And we're going to look at whether exercise is impaired by antioxidant vitamins and supplements. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.